Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
All right, Hebrews 11:1. Here we go. Now. This sets a precedent for this verse. It's like now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The operative word here is faith or trust. Faith and trust are synonyms, same word. So now, trust is the evidence of things hoped for, and are the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it brings substance and evidence, all right, to what we're hoping for and we don't see. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now listen to this, and this right here is a mouthful. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. If we just settled there and camped there just for 10 seconds, it brings things into perspective that the worlds were framed by God's word. All right? I'm going to get into that a little bit more here in a minute. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And it's like, wait a second, but here's essentially the truth. The truth is the devil can't create anything. You know, there's preachers that'll say, well, the devil's just creating chaos in the earth and chaos in ministry. No. He can't create anything. God's the creator. And the devil's nothing like that. So listen, what he can do is he can copy. He can counterfeit. He can pervert. He can twist. The devil can only pervert what God has framed. He can't create anything. He's not framing anything. Understand that. See, the framework of your life has to be God's promise. It can't be what you've seen. It can't be what you've heard. It can't be what you've experienced. See, so much of what makes this, like the job of ministry in this church difficult is people come in from all different backgrounds. Really, the wheelhouse are people that come in and are unchurched. They're blank canvas. Other people come in and there have been things that you've been taught and have been repeated over and over and over, and you're like, well, I guess that's just how it is, and it's not scriptural. See, everything you have to hear, don't just take this at face value, even though you can. What I'm going to say is going to be accurate and right, but listen, you back it up for yourself in God's word. You find it in God's word. You find and then why? Because at some point a storm is going to hit your house. And listen, I'm not a doomsday guy. It's just what the word says. The storm comes, and if your house is built upon the sand or anything that's shifting, which is what the world offers, the Bible says great is the fall of it. But that house that's built upon a rock, that storm is going to vehemently beat against it, and nothing's going to happen. See, that's the stand of faith we have to have for our homes, for our lives. See, it's like right now, if you can't find doom and gloom financially from what the world's saying, you're not listening. And that's the place I think we need to be. We're not listening to them anymore. We're putting our trust in God. The Bible says some trust in chariots and some in horses. We remember the name of the Lord our God. The name of the Lord our God is, listen, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. See, that's what we have to understand. Man, God's provision is so hefty. The Bible says this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. See, here's what's interesting. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Our inheritance isn't jewelry or money or estates. Now listen to this, please. Our inheritance is the land. God promised us the land. See, Okay, you'll say, take that a step further. I will. The Bible says, everywhere the sole of your foot lands, you possess it. And that possession is, you have title deed of. You legally have it. But see, our citizenship's not on this earth, it's in heaven. See, remember Jesus said, look, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom's come. Your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. So what God's promising, we've got a piece of heaven in our lives right now. And the very force of heaven. Do you guys understand what God did? Do you understand the bottom line isn't just to forgive our sin and redeem us from our iniquity? It's to get us filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key. You're thinking, man, why would God be mindful of me? I'm just a man. Because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. God's inside of you. So that's what God relates to. You're not listening to me. See, the idea of this now is, wait a second. I don't have a piece of heaven. I've got God on the inside of me. Every bit of his provision, every bit of his power, every bit of his presence. His glory fills this place for one dadgum reason. You're here. See, understand that. Man, people say, well, the church isn't the building. No, it is. This is where we meet. This right here, let me tell you what you're in. You're in a team meeting, and this is a locker room. See, the world was framed by the Word of God, and we can access it, obtain that simply by living a life of faith. And you have to condition yourself. See, here's what's hard. I'm a Cardinal fan because I love God. That's why you guys are Cardinal fans. Because you love, how many of you guys love God? You're a Cardinal fan, okay? So the Cardinals were playing the Braves yesterday. The Braves had a 4-0 lead, and I had to go do something with the grandbabies, or I did something, I don't know what I did, with the Brahms, which let me just tell you, Brahms is a lucrative business. How much did we spend last night at Brahms with three of our grandbabies? It's like, I thought they were going to get ice cream. My ice cream, I love that frozen yogurt, the chocolate, 99 cents. My grandkids got finished ordering. The guy said, that'll be $42.51. I'm like, for what? No, Tripp's got a cheeseburger. Charles has got a cheeseburger. He's got a milkshake. They got fries. They got these monster ice creams. And then Delph is just looking at me saying, mine, mine, mine. I'm like, I got it. You're two. Relax. So I go home, and the Cardinals are down by a run in the ninth inning. And I'm like, God, help these suckers. Help them. We hate the Braves, God. And we love your Cardinals. And the Cardinals ended up winning. They came back and won 6-5. They're playing the second best team in the National League, the best reliever in baseball. A guy gets up and hits a double. Another guy gets up and hits a sacrifice fly, so the guy's on third. The tying run's on third base. The next guy walks. The next guy gets an infield hit. The next guy gets hit by a pitch. The next guy walks. The Cardinals win. Now, let me tell you something. I was really hoping the Cardinals would win because I love God. I was really hoping the Cardinals would win last night. But let me tell you something. Sandy and I were in a situation yesterday where there was somebody that there was a report came out. And we took a stand of faith. That's much different than me hoping the Cardinals are going to win. I'm not hoping God touches him. I'm not hoping it works out. You know what? I put a dadgum demand on the throne of grace and the promise of God, just like I would if I was going to take money out of my account. I've got an account in heaven now. That's what we have to understand. That's who we are now. Greater, if this is the only thing you heard, for the rest of the year in these services, greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. Let me tell you, that one phrase right there is more than enough. More than enough power, more than enough provision, more than enough of God's presence. And that's what we have to understand. Everyone in this room, let me tell you something. There's a call of God on your life. a full-time ministry call on everyone's life in this room. God has gifted you. There's a gifting in you that's going to make you superhuman at that call. It's going to be more than anybody in the world could ever muster. But then listen, there's a third element of this that ties it all together, and it's the anointing. And that anointing comes by revelation of God's word. That anointing comes not just from reading the word or going to church or being able to sing. I use an example. It's an easy example. Is Whitney Houston. What I know of her life, that she was raised in church. There was a call came upon her life, and she was walking in that call, and then there was a gift. And I'm telling you, that gift was discovered and developed in church. It's what we try to do here. But let me tell you, through whatever in her life, she deviated and she took it to the world. So then there were times in concerts and in shows and on TV, in Grammy Award programs, she'd get up and she would hit notes that just everyone in the room was like, wow. And the whole room lifted. That was just a little sprinkling of the anointing that was on her life. See, so you think about it. If God's no respecter of persons, and God has put a call on your life, which I will fight you in the street to convince you that he did. I'm not kidding you. We can't play with this anymore. The world needs the church to wake up and stand up and be who God's called us to be. So listen, so the call that's in our lives, God gifts us, and you know not what that call goes. Like, you guys in business right now, there is no way you could lose money. There is no way that you could fail. No, this is fail safe. And what you're going to hear in this message is going to determine that in your life. You're going to be able to fix your heart in that. But listen, the idea of this is that there's an anointing that God gives us that breaks yokes of bondage, that removes burdens, that lifts people up, that lifts rooms, that lifts schools, that lifts communities, that lifts states, that lifts countries, that kind of anointing. And it comes by revelation of God's word. Revelation of who God really is. Is God really the healer? Let's let him be the healer. See, the Bible says this, these are kind of freebies. These aren't in my notes. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Religious people aren't going to like that, are they, Roger? They're not going to like me saying you can be equal with God. You can be in right standing with God. You can be eye to eye with God. You can be at a God level. But you know what? You've got to let that mind be in you. See, what you've got to do is we've got to take... See, God works by baptism. God works by... It's immersion. He immerses us in his ministry call, in that gifting, in his presence, which brings the anointing. Because we have revelation of who he is. We know that we know that we know. And you know what? We're not going to be blown around or tossed by every wind of doctrine. Remember, we're not alone. God promised, God, his power, his provision, his peace is always with us. Always. God's power is with you right now. In whatever you're facing, whatever giants in front of you, whatever little foxes you're dealing with. And let me tell you, don't take those little foxes. Don't think, no, it's not that big a deal. It's a huge deal. See, mature foxes can reach and jump and gather, get the fruit of the vine because they're big enough. Little foxes can't reach them. So you know what they've got to do? They've got to gnaw at the base of the vine so that the vine falls down so they can get the fruit. They kill the vine. The little foxes spoil the vine. The little foxes of our life, that's what's going to mess with your marriage, your children, your finances, just little foxes. And let me tell you, those are revealed during worship services like we just had. When you're sitting here right now and the preacher just kind of takes a rabbit trail to about little foxes and dealing with your vine, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's what's happening in my life. It's little foxes. It's things that shouldn't take you out. There's so many peers and friends. Sandy and I talk about this all the time. There's peers and friends that things will happen in their life and their ministry and it'll take them down. And it's like, that shouldn't have taken them down. It maybe should have winged them. It maybe should have bruised. They maybe should have had a limp for a little while. But it shouldn't have taken them out. How many people do we have that like that in our lives? People that in this room right here, you're dealing with little foxes right now. Man, they spoil the vine. They're gnawing at the base of that vine till that vine falls, and then that vine's dead. See, we usually see God's hand in impossible situations. When things seem like they're impossible. I've faced impossible things. Pastor Sandy has faced the impossible. No, I'm here to tell you. I've watched her face the impossible. She didn't blink. She didn't flinch. She didn't cower. She stood. And what happened? She won. She prevailed. See, you look at Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua. 12 spies come in, 10 spies come back, and are factually accurate. They weren't lying. They just weren't trusting what God said. But two came back trusting. Listen to Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to, listen to this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Every enemy you have won't be able to stand against you. Underline that, highlight that, take notes of that. This is a type and shadow of what God's given us. No man will stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now listen to what God says. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Joshua, he has to do it for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then he turns around and he said, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land. See that? Which I swore to their fathers to give them. See, that's what our ministry is today. We're not just lifting people up out of the miry clay. We're not just lifting them up out of the miry clay and setting their feet upon a rock, but we're putting a new song in their heart. A song of deliverance, a song of triumph, a song of victory. See, God uses you to divide the inheritance for people around you. See the place you're in. It's not just teaching or preaching or singing or some kind of helps ministry. We're delivering an inheritance to the people around us that God gives them. See, he's not just giving them stuff. He's giving them the land. You know what that means? Mineral rights. Do you guys understand? If you're not a landowner, you may not understand this. Mineral rights are huge. Water rights. Water rights are huge. Taylor's got some property south of Tulsa. The property next to him needs water that Taylor has the rights to. Who's got the leverage? See, that's what God gives us. That's what this is all about. That's why God gives us the land as an inheritance, to give us leverage. And then in verse 7 in Joshua 1, God says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all that is written and all that Moses commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or the left. Now listen, that you may prosper wherever you go. He doesn't say you prosper in these few different areas. Yeah, if you're well educated, yeah, if you're experienced, if you were born on the right side of the tracks, none of that. It's like, look, you observe to obey this. If we trust God's word, let me tell you right now, here's a guarantee. If you trust God's word, you will prosper wherever you go. If you rely upon it, If you become an imitator of God, you're going to prosper. What about inflation? We're the church. The world cries inflation. We cry, God provides. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, not on it. See, you got to immerse yourself in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is according to written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Man, is prosperous a bummer for you? And I understand there's religious people out there that attack the gospel of prosperity. I'm not one of them. I want to lead you into a prosperous life. And it's not about stuff. It's about control. It's about you having control of your life. Isn't that how you're raising your kids? Man, you're raising your kids. No, they can't control you. You go out and do your best. You do your best, man, God's going to, that'll honor God, and God will pick up the rest of it for you. Have I not commanded you to be strong and great and of good courage? Don't be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's why you'll be prosperous. That's why you'll have good success. Man, I'll tell you, I'll be real honest with you. I believe the church is, I believe the world has cried out for the church to be successful. I do. I believe the world's poking at the church just to see if we're up for the fight of faith that we say that we are. Don't blink. Don't flinch. Don't cower. Don't be afraid nor dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, Jesus in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he came to him and he said, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. And then he said something in verse 19 that is, in, he said, so go therefore. He said, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. See, that goes back to Joshua 1. Meditate in it day and night. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Amen. See, we've been assigned to an impossible, impossible life as Christians. We're living in a world that contradicts everything we stand for. See, that's why the Bible says be in it, but not of it. Man, we don't argue the way they argue. We don't see, the world's about division. The kingdom's about separation. They are completely different. I'm just telling you. Man, we separate our trust from the world so that even in the same situation, we overcome. And we prosper, and we have good success. That's the promise God gives us. See, equipping us not just to confront situations. Man, I'm supposed to be a confronter all the time. But wait a second, I'm not called to fight every battle. I personally don't want to lay my life down to die on whatever hill. See, God has equipped us not just to be confrontive, but to overcome in these situations. See, that's what we need to put our focus on is, God, help me to overcome. God, show me how to overcome here. The Holy Spirit, listen, he's gonna remind you of everything Jesus said and show you things you didn't know. So you're a newlywed, or you've just had a baby and you're walking out with this kid and you're like, what do I do with it? What do I do with this? And I really have to, I've got to take responsibility for how many years? And well, you look at it and say, God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit alive on the inside of me. So I had to boil it down. Sandy's a much better parent. Sandy is much smarter. But I had to boil it down. I had to boil it down to what do I want? What's the end game with this kid? It's to fulfill your purpose and marry the right person. I don't know what else factors in more than that. Trophies and grades and all that stuff's huge. And I say you lead your kids, you parent your kids to the top of the class. That's what I believe. You don't settle. You're not satisfied. C's don't get degrees in my house because Sandy lives there. See, if you're ever overwhelmed by the size of your issue or your problem, if I ever am, I've lost sight of God's faithfulness. And what I know today, and I could stand here and tell you, is God's faithful. No matter what. See, the 10 spies going into the promised land that relayed the facts. It was all factual, the problems and the impossibility of them prevailing. That's why Joshua and Caleb are heroes in this instance, because they stuck with God's promises. See, let me just tell you right here, our God's greater. I'm telling you, our God's greater. Your giant is your next ridiculous victory. Whatever you're facing. I'm not impressed anymore. And this is something that you have to discipline yourself into. Is we can't be impressed with what opposes our faith. So sickness, disease, inflation, all the politics, whatever the narrative of the world, whatever opposed, that doesn't impress me. See, in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. This gives us ridiculous faith. See, the Bible says, if God be for me, who could be against me? If God be for me, who could be against me? Well, my boss doesn't like me. Well, I got fired. Well, they turned down my mortgage application. If God be for me, who could be against me? Let me tell you something. God's got a better job with a better boss and a better house, and God always wants better. Listen, he always wants better for you. Listen, he's always got more for you. The door God opens, no man can close. We don't refer to the second part of that verse. The door God closes, no man can open. You're like, oh, it's a closed door. God, where are you? No, it's a closed door. God, thank you so much for saving me that hassle. See, in Psalm 20, verse 4, it says, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Is that amazing? God grants you according to your heart's desire and fulfills all of your purpose. See, I'm on this treadmill and this grind, fulfilling God's purpose for, and then with God saying, look, I'm going to give you your heart's desire and I'm going to fulfill your purpose. You just trust me. Don't blink, don't flinch, don't cower. No anxiety, no fear, definitely no depression. See, some people, you want to open a door for the devil, just say, man, I've just been depressed lately. Stop it. Stop talking. Because you have, you eat good the fruit that comes out of your mouth. You have what you say. Man, you can't live by how you feel. Show me in God's word where he'll ever say, hey, just accept some depression now and then. Why don't you pick Mondays to be moody? Well, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Shut up. Stop talking. How do you feel? Man, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm created in Christ Jesus for great works to walk in them. God, I thank you today that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And you know what? What's in me is greater than what's in the world. God, I thank you that no weapon formed against me will ever prosper, yet everything I put my hand to will. Everything I put my, what do you, anybody, you guys gonna, any of you guys gonna put your hand to something tomorrow? How many of you guys are gonna put, how many of you guys are gonna put your hand to something tomorrow? Can I see your hands? Let me tell you, God will cause it to prosper. And you'll say, well, is it that easy? Yeah. Whatever you do, do it heartily as of unto the Lord. Yeah, but I work for a bad boss. No. You work for that boss like you're working for Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Let me tell you, you try to keep a bad boss if you're working as of unto the Lord. You're going to turn him. You're going to flip him. And that's really what we're here to do. We're here to turn him from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. You have no idea what that boss is going through. And what's in you is in you to help what he's dealing with. Cool? I hope you got something out of this. I hope you're leaving today better than the way you came in. God's created you for great works. Walk in them. Man, he'll make you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. Why? Because you're keeping his word in front of your eyes and in it all the time, and then you're speaking it. You're proclaiming God's word. How many of you guys know that to be the truth, that you've got to speak this for it to be power? It's got to come out of your mouth because you have what you say. Man, you get a diagnosis, you say, you know what? Nice try, devil. I'm healed. No evil shall befall me. What does that mean? No evil shall take you down, nor any plague can be able to stand where you live. Yeah, but, you know, it's cancer. Cancer's easy unless you couple it with fear. Fear will choke you and kill you, and cancer will get the credit. I personally don't want to give cancer credit for Jack. Do you?
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.